What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 2 of the Tucson Pinball Podcast. I am Wayne Sager, and we are going to talk about Tucson Pinball today. So Tucson Pinball is kind of a solution to a problem that we were having when I was trying to run an event. I was doing what I called the Tucson Bi-Weekly. It was the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, and we were holding it out at Golf and Stuff. And if you're not in the Tucson area, Golf and Stuff is a pretty large family entertainment center. It has 4 pinball machines, and it's got a lot of arcade and redemption type stuff, and big batting cage. What else is out there? They've got a bumper boat area and a go-kart area and 2 18-hole mini golf, which, my family loves that. And most of the time when we go there, I'm just like waiting to sneak away to go play some pinball. So anyways, what we were doing there is we were doing a head-to-head match play, double elimination, best 2 out of 3 on the winner's side, and then single elimination on the elimination side, or single game on the elimination side, so that we were not having bottlenecks, because we tended to do that. So anyways, when we started playing there, they had 4 machines. They still have 4 machines, but these are the 4 machines they had. They had a Stern Rolling Stones, they have still a Transformers Pro, a Star Trek, a new Stern Star Trek, and then they got a Walking Dead. At some point, about 6 months after we started that, so that was, a while ago now, they got rid of the Rolling Stones. They sold that to a collector, I think, in Canada. And then they shifted everything down, and they got a Ruby Red Edition Wizard of Oz. So that was pretty sweet. The problem started to continuously, I guess, creep in when maintenance was an issue. Because, as we all know, pinball machines are not... they're not impervious to issues. What's the good way to say that? Things break, and things need repair at times, and pins need maintenance. So anyways, it was a very tedious task to talk to the game room manager and say, this is what the issues are, please have them fixed within 2 weeks. Kind of thing, because people would come in and practice, and I would hear, oh yeah, this thing's still doing it. The biggest culprit for ever is Transformers, that Megatron lock. I mean, it's a pretty sweet mech and everything, but when it starts getting bent, the balls don't sit right on the optos, and then it's just like, all right, just gonna sit there forever. And what do? You don't have keys to the thing. Later on, we got friendly with a lot of the attendants and said, hey, this is the issue. And when their eyes kind of glaze over, they're like, you can tell that they don't have a clue what you're talking about, but they understand that you know a lot more about the situation than they do. And when you ask them to come over and just kind of supervise, as you pop the lock bar, you slide down the glass and you fix an unstuck ball or, whatever. They're just kind of like, oh, okay. So next time, just don't ask questions. Just let these guys do what they need to do and then walk away. I mean, the place uses tokens. It's got one of those, the lockbox cover with the slits and everything. The tokens are falling in there. It's not like a bunch of adult guys are trying to raid the kitty or whatever you want to call it, the loot box. So anyways, maintenance became an issue, and it was just more and more frustrating because, I mean, it's good that I hear about things because I need to know about them because I need to be able to address them as the guy running the tournament. So, but it just became the point of like, okay, yeah, so Transformers won't freaking register a lock in Megatron when you lock, ball 3 or ball 4, you're waiting on your last thing to start multi-ball, and then... hey, guess what? It's not going to work. So either try tilt out trying to get that thing to settle, or, hey, let's nix Transformers again. And then, all the machines had issues at one point or another. Some of them were repairable. Some of them we would go in on our off days when the game room manager was there. We would open them up and he would just kind of let us do our thing, and we'd clean the games and everything like that. So anyways, long story, really short. I kind of got sick of that, and I had enough games in my collection that I talked to a buddy of mine, and I said, hey, what if we tried doing something on our own? I play hockey at this place. It's on the wrong side of town for us as far as commute goes, but it's right off the freeway, so, it's not that big of a deal. And He's like, yeah, sure, that sounds cool. And so I went in and I talked to the owner, and he knows me because I'm there every Tuesday night playing hockey. In fact, I'm going to be there in, oh, about an hour and a half from now. And so I talked to him and I said, hey, listen, you've got this floor space that's unused in your bar area. You've got X amount of tables, and what if I wanted to put some pinball machines there? And he's like, oh, we actually had pins a long time ago, and la la la. And he was cool to the idea, and we kind of have a we formed a handshake agreement there, and I kind of got the ball rolling because you have to get the smart thing to do is put an LLC together and then get your business license. You have to have your business license, but you should have an LLC as well. And then you have to get your stickers from the city, your little your vending stickers, and those are like in Tucson. I've heard other places are kind of rough, but in Tucson it's really nice. It's 10% or not 10%. It's $6, and then per sticker per year. And then it is, I think it's 4% total. My spreadsheet's got it all. So anyways, I mean that's not brutal. So anyways, we put four machines in there, and things were going well. I started doing the bi-weekly out of there. We would alternate between golf and stuff and our location. It's at a place called the Tucson Indoor Sports Center, so it's called TISC, and it's indoor roller hockey, and they also do indoor soccer. And they've got a good bar with pretty nice menu selection for food items and stuff. So it's just like, you know what? That's kind of a good pinball spot. You know what I mean? There's good beer and plenty of food, and it's nice relaxing area. There's some TVs because it's a sports place, so they've always got whatever sports are on. Which it sucks right now because I'm a hockey player, and hockey's over. And there's not a whole lot of stuff for me to watch on TV right now. So anyways, that the ambiance is there, and it's just kind of a nice atmosphere, and everybody had a good time. So we got to the point where my buddy and I were like, we kind of see that there's room for eight machines here. So I approached him and I said, hey, you know what? We've got enough. Can we move up to eight? I think I started off with six. And I said, at some point we'd really like to get eight, but because there's space for eight, and I think it would look really cool, to fill out the full wall, because we kind of had just these machines and then a wall empty space, and it was glaring at everybody. It was just like, pins belong here. So, anyways, so I said, hey, how about six? We can do eight, but if it's okay if I understand if you want to take this a little slower. He's like, no, dude, if you've got eight, just bring them all in here, and let's make it a full deal. So we've got eight machines in there currently, and we've been in there, I think, almost a year, coming up on, yeah, we're probably like 10 months in on this adventure. And it's been fun. It's a lot of effort, but at least I can control, or have some control anyways, the amount of downtime that goes into a machine. Sometimes you're just sitting there troubleshooting and it's like, oh my goodness, I'd love to have this back in my house so I can do this at 10 o'clock at night and then just go to bed that's 10 feet away, as opposed to driving 30 minutes away and still not having the issue resolved. Just like, oh, I gotta order this part now because I think I finally figured it out. So anyways, there's been a couple breakdowns that I've just been like, if I only had this thing at my house. So anyways, but you know what, you learn a little bit and you kind of get a feel for what's going to go wrong on what machine, and you kind of just prep for it. And after a little while, you've got a little stockpile of parts, and it's just like, oh, that coil sleeve snapped or melted and whatever. Sure, I've got another one right here. So the lineup is currently from left to right: Laser Ball, which is a 79 Williams super wide body. That thing's heavy. We've got a South Park, and then Bride of Pinbot and Data East Hook. And those are my friends' machines. And my machines currently sitting there are Diner, Ghostbusters, Super Mario Brothers, and Police Force. And we've done a few mods to, well, I've done a mod to Police Force to make it less, shoot the ramp all day. There's some guys that still want to shoot the ramp because they have a little bit more accuracy than I do. But I got those giant fat rubbers, those yellow ones that Papa did on Adam's Family on the chair. Those things in front of the ramp, yeah, that makes it a little bit harder. And if you hit those things, it's like a super ball coming right back at you. So, you know, there's definitely a lot of risk there. And I set the setting up to 8. You have, you know, because the default setting is 3 shots in a row will get you unlimited millions if as long as you keep looping that ramp. Well, it's when it's 8 and those giant rubbers are there, it's kind of hard. So, anyways, I've heard people talk about, oh yeah, my highest score on Police Force is like 76 million, and it's like, well, you know, that game's really fun if you take out the center ramp, because the rest of the stuff is kind of, you know, there's a lot of skills that you need to have to play the rest of that game. So I think the highest score ever there was, I don't know, something like 42 million maybe, and that might have involved a lot of center ramps. It might not have. I didn't witness it, but I walked up to it one day. I was like, dude, Mike got a hold of this one. So yeah, that was cool. But I mean, the rest of the time, you know, like high scores at the end of the month, and sometimes we reset the scores every month just so people can get some free credits, and it's easier to track Super League stuff and things like that. But yeah, you know, normally a month is like, I don't know, low 20s, low to mid 20s is kind of where I see stuff after I reset it. So, but yeah, you get a hold of that thing, and there's lots of points to be had. Didn't mean to turn this into the Police Force Pinball Podcast, but I like that game. I know some people don't really like that game, but I like that game. There's a lot of variety. You're having to shoot the entire layout of the playfield, and it's kind of a fan layout. I mean, that's just the way the shots go, 'cause the flippers are the you know, are the main focal point of everything, and it just kind of fans out from there. So, I mean, when you look at it, lots of stuff can kind of look like a fan layout, and like, 'cause they are, but that's the way the angles work. So, anyways, Police Source is fun. It's kind of challenging, and it's a good System 11. I like that one. Let's see. Right next to it, we got Super Mario Brothers, which is an awesome theme. The artwork is super cool. It was my first machine, so I'm slightly biased, but it's a System 3 Gottlieb, and it does have its quirks that make it not so tournament friendly. Let's just say you can't turn off extra balls, which is kind of funny, and you can actually earn a lot of extra balls on that one. So yeah, it's. When we do events and you have to plunge your extra balls, it's just like, oh, okay. So we've actually modified the plunge your extra balls rule to, because it's playfield validation, which means if you don't hit a switch, it will keep spitting out that extra ball over and over and over again until it happens to roll into the slingshot or something. So in order to make things go a little bit quicker, we have a one flip rule. You can flip the ball one time, and so it will actually hit a switch, and then let it drain. Because otherwise, the way the geometry works is it plunges to the upper playfield area. There's a flipper up there that you're supposed to hit the ball with, but if you aren't allowed to do that, it just kind of rolls right down the center, and so it's an infinite loop of boredom. So that was kind of an interesting thing when we were like, oh, hey, what do we do with this? Because it's just playing by itself without hitting anything, and you know, whatever. Long, kind of drawn out side effect of that. Let's see, right next to it is Ghostbusters, which is, like everybody mentions, it's very challenging. It's definitely not a beginner's game. It is a average pinball player's game or higher. I mean, I've seen newer players step up to play that, and I don't really know that they're a new player until they start playing, and then they're double flipping, and it's like, oh, this is gonna be really ugly. I hope they don't, you know, abandon this and never come back. Because you know what, getting your butt kicked by Ghostbusters, even as a person who knows what they want to do, you still are gonna have your butt kicked by Ghostbusters on a fairly regular basis, and you kind of have to just be like, all right, let's do that again. And if you don't have the skill set to like bounce passes or pose passes or you know stuff like that to get the ball from one side to the next, Ghostbusters is gonna eat you alive. But it's a fun game. Everybody really likes it. Everybody really hates it sometimes because it's just like, oh, it's one shot away from just you know doing X, Y, and Z. But that's it's got the magic. It's like the Iron Man thing where it's just like, I don't know what it is, but I can't walk away from it. Ghostbusters has that. It's a lot of fun. And I like it. It's different and I like it, and everything's good about it. It's hard, you know, that's just life is hard. Let's see, right next to it is Diner, which is a very fun game. I don't know. Mark Ritchie makes these games, and in the beginning you just hate them. I hated Taxi for the longest time, and then I played it and played it, and I got kind of decent at the shots. I kind of got a feel for the shots, and then I was like, you know what? This game's really fun. I understand why people like this thing. And Diner's a lot of the same feel. You know, the shots are a little bit different than what you're kind of used to, and once you get kind of a little bit of comfort level with it and you play it a little bit, man, it's a fun game. So right next to it is Hook, which if you're on Pin side, there is actually a home version, or not a home version, but an updated version of code coming, and I'm super excited for that. That's a game. It's got some bugs. They're not game breaking or anything, but they're just like, wait, that shouldn't have happened, but it just did. Okay, whatever. You know, you just keep going, 'cause that's Hook. It's Hook, and that's the way it is. So I'm really excited for when that comes out, so we can kind of unlock a little bit more of what Hook has to offer. Right now, it's very much a start multi-ball and fly up the ramp, and then wait for him, Hook, to finish saying jackpot before you shoot that right ramp. Because if you shoot it too early, guess what? It's not going to register as a jackpot shot. But Hook, it's a fun game. It's early '90s Data East. It's got kind of some of those quirks. You can see some of that lineage in some of the Stern games, but all in all, not terrible. It's a fun game. It's definitely one of those. It's a wild card. When somebody picks that in tournament, you're sitting there like, all right, well, am I gonna get 7 million or am I gonna get 120 million? It's you kind of never really know with that one. Next to it is Bride of Pinbot, and you should know about Bride of Pinbot. It's a fun game. It's kind of left ramp heavy. But if you're playing and you need points and the jackpot's there, you can go for the jackpot too. And you know what? There are a few things more fun than shooting that center ramp though. I don't know. It just feels good. I really like that center ramp. So I always like when you lock the balls and then it releases, down from the face, not down the right side trails. When it releases from the face and you're just like, I got that one timer straight up that center ramp so it can feed to the right flipper so I can shoot the left ramp again. But you know what? Shooting that center ramp is so much more fun to me than shooting the left ramp because you just do it a lot. But I don't know. It feels good. That can be a hard game too because everything's a little bit closer to you because of that giant face mech up there. So yeah, that has balls screaming back at you if you miss your shots. So let's see. Right now we have a South Park right next to that. And that is a trade game from D&D. Like I said, we love D&D, and what used to be there is a Whirlwind, and we kind of the two Roberts talked and said, hey, let's do a swap, and it's been kind of cool. It's just to change things up a little bit and try to keep everything a little bit fresh, and we'll see what the next rotation's gonna be when the time comes, but. South Park is an interesting game. I find it kind of curious, I guess is the word, that late 90s and early 2000s Stern slash Sega, they have two games where a toilet is the main thing. And it's like, guys, really? I get it. Okay, on South Park, whatever. Mr. Henke was kind of a, whatever, early character, whatever. I'm not quite sure I would have picked that to be like your multi-ball type thing, but whatever. It is what it is. When he pops out of the toilet and he's like, "Hidey-ho!" And it's just like, your 13-year-old self is like, "That's funny," because that's Mr. Henke. But yeah, then you have to shoot that right ramp. So, anyways, it's a fun game. That right feed out of the little Cartman kickout area. That can come quick. Sometimes you can bounce that over to the left, and sometimes you can't. And it's kind of a you kind of have to pay attention to it, like right down to the wire, to see what it's gonna do. And I don't know. I've gotten a hold of that game a time or two, and I'm still not 100% sure how or why. All I know is the Kenny shot is like the easiest thing in pinball. Seriously. You can be aiming for almost anything and still wander into Kenny from time to time. Just because, have you seen how big that shot is? And then have you seen how many times the Kenny toy just was like, hey, here's a pinball. I'm going to steal it from you. And then you're like, dude, come on. And even the ball search is like moving him left and right and bopping him to the front and everything. And it's like, when is this guy going to let this thing go? You know, it's like, all right, let's pop the glass again. So that's kind of the one downside. But oh my goodness, if you have a beginner at pinball, show them South Park. And after they're done laughing at the callouts, show them, hey, shoot that thing because it's huge. And, you know, you actually get some points out of it too. So, but yeah, South Park is kind of an interesting game. If you don't laugh at it, you'll cringe at it because you're just like, oof, there's like grown-ups around that are like really good at adulting. So yeah, I'm playing South Park. So anyways, and then Laser Ball. Then you have Laser Ball. Oh my goodness. Even with two people moving this game, it's still not the most fun thing to do. And Laser Ball has the lockdown bar in the front. It doesn't have those nice rounded smooth corners. It has those sharp corners. And so nudging that thing, A, you're not getting anywhere because you're not moving. And B, it hurts. After a while, you know, you smack the thing a little bit because both sides have those like arched return lanes that just outside of the out lanes that it falls in there. It collects bonus, I think. Or no, it collects your blue 10K AE light, you know, whatever that weird weird letter is. And it does like a collect off of that, I think. But sometimes, you know, when the ball's bouncing around there, you're like, well, is it going in lane? Is it going to the little kickout thingy, or is it going to die right now? And you kind of want to influence that if you can. And yeah, good luck, because that game's heavy and it doesn't like you. So, but it's still a fun game. There's a lot of strategy involved with that because we have it set to 5-ball, and there's a couple bonus multiplier shots, and it goes 2x, 3x, 5x. And you can get to 3x on your first ball, and you can carry that through the entire game. You can also get to 5x, but as soon as you drain, that 5x starts back at 1x, so you gotta start it all over again. And some of those bonus x shots are a little bit more dangerous than the rest. So it looks very simple. It actually is fairly simple, but depending on your situation, if you're playing against somebody, you need to know, hey, how many points do I need, and how many bonus multipliers am I willing to risk on balls 1 through 4? Because you obviously want 5x on ball 5, but if you've got 3x going on ball 1, what do you do? You know, you kind of have to see what you want to do. So, anyways, Tucson Pinball. We're at TucsonPinball.com, and that is our setup. It is bound to change because that's just the way things go. And when it does, I'll try to keep things kind of up to date. We have a quote-unquote how to play. Ooh, we're getting power flickers at the house. That's awesome. We have a how to play on the website, and that shows the current games. I think South Park is not there. Whirlwind is there. So if you check that out, that's why. And I just have two quick lines of if you're showing a newbie how to play, it's like, you know, here's two things. After you tell them don't double flip and where the start button is, tell them these two things and just have them focus on that. So anyways, that's it, and thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time. We are going to have a pre-Pinburg episode coming up next, and because Pinburg, I fly out tomorrow, so I guess I got to do that tonight as well. So anyways, in the meantime, party on, everybody. Later.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth.
It's Wayne's World. Wayne's World. Party time. Excellent.
We're clear.